guys. This is the Anti-Marketing Podcast, and this is Val, for once. And my co-host is Misty.
Oh, hi. Hello.
This is a little strange, a little backwards for you guys. But we are here today with one of my very favorite local businesses, Pleasure House Brewing. We have Drew with us today.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Of course. And so we were just going to have a little chat, and since it's a place that I frequent quite often, Misty sort of has me in charge today. So, if you just want to tell us a little bit about how you guys started and what you do.
Sure. I guess the short answer is we make beer and we try to make people happy.
You know? You do both.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. It's so weird to me because I'm the guy who works in the back and talks to his tanks all day, so getting to meet somebody who like really loves our brewery is always a blast. We got started, I guess, because probably 7 years old, so probably about 10, maybe 11 years ago, my soon-to-be brother-in-law gave me a homebrew kit for Christmas, and he knew I'd like craft beer and whatnot, and the first two batches I made were god-awful, and we'd had to dump most of them, yeah. Right, exactly, and then the third one, I was like, well, I'm going to take this wheat beer and put kiwis in it, because who cares, it's crazy, homebrewing world, and it came out really well, and I think at that point, I was really hooked, and I don't know, for a little while, I cooked on the stove like everybody else does, and then my wife hated the smell, so then I got a propane burner and went to the back patio for a while. She managed to kick me, get me to relocate to her dad's place, who had a big, like, separate garage. But I semi-joke and try not to cry when I say that I'm pretty sure she was willing to help fund the brewery because it got all of that crap out of the bathroom. You know? And, gave us something we'd maybe make some money at.
It's perfect.
Yeah. And she and I used to frequent a place called Lynn Haven Pub, which is a wonderful little dive bar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very
know it well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
My people.
Yes.
And the guy who was in charge of the bar at that point and the craft beer program, which won him several awards, was a guy named Tim O'Brien. Mm-hmm. And we decided that if we were going to open a brewery, then he needed to be the guy that ran things in the front, because even though maybe it sounds like that or not, but I'm not really good with talking to people day in and day out. So we need somebody who knew what he's doing. He's been a bar manager, craft beer fan, home brewer, all that stuff, and decided to go for it.
Yeah, perfect. And that was, you said, 7 years ago.
Yep, so we'll have our 7th anniversary 3 days before Halloween this year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited. One of my favorite times of year.
So, it's funny. So, you talk about 10 years ago. So, 10 years ago, I made my husband stop brewing beer because I was pregnant and couldn't handle the smell.
Yeah, that's what
it.
I've heard, right.
Yeah, it was, like, horrible to me. And I instantly, like, your wife is such a kind person because, like, what
that's true.
What did I take away from Chris Brewing that he might have had? Mm-hmm. But so knowing that, like knowing how big that scene is, how did you decide, like, hey, we're going to do this and, like, put ourselves competitively out there
right.
in this, like, crazy craft beer world?
Well, I'll give you the 45-second answer, and then if you want more, we can figure it out later on. First of all, in my view at least, it wasn't all that competitive in Virginia Beach at that point. Because we had Reaver Beach, and of course the German place up at Town Center that I can never remember the name of, Gordon Biersch. And
which was like kind of, I mean,
right,
kind of
like restaurant-y,
yeah,
yeah.
Yes.
Kind of very, very corporate. Plus, we were way down Shore Drive. I can't remember if Young Vets was maybe a little bit. I think they were ahead of us a year, but that's so far away, you know, in Virginia Beach miles that
right.
we figured. It wouldn't be too bad.
No, because where you guys are is totally different.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I consoled myself, because I figured I knew I would make some mistakes, and we had some issues when we opened for the first year or so. It took a while. But, you know, that part aside, I guess the long story short is we ended up with two kids rather than one. My wife is also a teacher. She had just started. She's a little younger than I am, and I'd gotten to 20 years and pretty much done everything I felt I could do. So I was like, well, we are going to need more money than we thought we did, so maybe we'll give this a whirl.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, someday it may even have worked out. We'll see.
Well, it seems like it's worked out based on like how often I know Val is there.
Mm-hmm. It's getting there. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So I know you guys had your original location
right.
on Shore Drive
mm-hmm.
and then moved mm-hmm. to actual Pleasure House.
Yes, we did.
Pleasure House Road. Was that a you just needed a larger space situation? Was it like you got busy, you outgrew the other one? It seems like there's more space.
Oh, 100%. Now, like, yeah, yeah. In fact, you can fit our entire original location, you know, brewing area, tasting room, everything inside the brewing space at the new place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just under 3 times as big. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. Like the rent compared to the value of the building we were in was getting absurd. The building was falling apart. I mean, if you go past it now, there's like, well, I shouldn't say anything about that, but anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry. We knew this when we signed the lease. We couldn't have outdoor seating or food trucks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was very restrictive. We were happy to get a chance to get started there, but mm-hmm. it just wasn't working. So
yeah.
Yeah.
The new space is great.
It's
get to ride my bike there.
Love it.
Fine.
I love it.
Very close to my house.
I have a trench drain now, so like I don't have to power wash. Like I literally used a power, like a pressure washer,
mm-hmm.
to clean the floors in the brewing space because we had no trench drain. So I had to like pressure wash it and then like squeegee
push it out
in the other direction. Try to get a little 6-foot drain, so that was not great planning.
I'm sure that's been nice.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
One thing that you don't have to worry as much about.
Exactly.
How do you think people, like, how would you say people found you? Like, how did you get the following that you got?
Honestly, that's what when I heard that this was called the anti-marketing podcast, I was like, that is amazing, because we're like the anti-marketing brewery, just because we didn't have a whole lot of money, or also maybe we're very good at it. Our whole thing from the get-go, you know, I was thinking about this when I was driving out here and trying to figure out the road closures, I used to listen to beer podcasts when I was brewing, like, exhaustively, insanely. And I remember, like, I would hear this one guy come on, it's like, we have the greatest IPA ever. And then the next week's like, our IPA is unbelievable. And then you get the guy who's like, every single beer we've ever made has, like, come straight from the, you know, dripping sweat of God himself. And, you know, it's just, it's insane to me. It's like, that can't possibly be true.
Right.
Why would you say it?
Right.
Right? So we just kind of opened, and it's one of the reasons Tim is so foundational. Like, we want to make the best beer we can, and we want to treat people like valued human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah, which is very true, and you guys do. And I think it's so awesome because we see, because you have multiple owners,
mm-hmm.
in it, right? And so
there's
you're all
us.
There. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you're always there.
Yes.
I mean, they're always there. They're always, like, at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tim and Kevin are always
mm-hmm.
at the bar, and, like,
yep.
the people who serve you your beer and talk, and they're the owners. And that's, like, the coolest, I think, from, like, a business standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome to see you guys also actually involved
yes.
in your business.
Yeah, I think that's been a big plus.
And I think it, like, shows through to the people who, like, come and hang out there and stuff, too.
No, I totally agree. We have a lot of the people that are there all the time, or even people that are there occasionally, are actual friends.
Yeah.
You know? And they're friends with each other, and they didn't know each other before.
Right.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's super special because I know, I mean, so it's funny that you, like, mentioned that it's called, so I don't know how much you know about me. I'm a social media manager. Like, that's
not
my
right
job.
Mm-hmm.
I, like, do marketing for people, but I don't do it the way that everybody tells you should do it.
Right.
Which is part of the reason we started this whole thing.
So what we're hearing is we need to hire you.
No.
Oh, no.
This is not a pitch. It never would be. No, because you're clearly doing a great job. So no, not at all. But I think what I really like hearing, and what I think a lot of restaurateurs or brewers or beer makers or anybody, like, in the food service industry, a lot of people will get in their head, like, as an owner, well, I'm going to have people that, like, do that.
Right.
I'm going to have people that serve the beers,
mm-hmm.
do the things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they end up missing that, like, really personal connection,
right.
because they want to be on every shelf in every Whole Foods
mm-hmm.
in America. But sometimes I think the most successful people, depending on what your version of success is,
right.
are the ones who serve Val her beer whenever she comes and does whatever. I would rather go to that place than go to the place where, like, there's a random person that I don't know every single time I come.
Right. It doesn't have a real tie to the to the brewery.
Like, that's special.
Thank you. I agree.
It's really special.
I'd like to pretend that that was a genius move on our part from the get-go, but we were just poor, and so we all worked a zillion hours, and, you know, it really, like, was talking to Tim about this yesterday and Kevin about it a few days ago, like, it's kind of cool to the point that we don't feel like we're going to, like, go under any minute now, which is a nice thing. And so now that with that, you know, stress taken away, we have really cool jobs.
Yeah.
You know what
you
I mean?
Do.
I mean, we did the whole time, but it's hard to appreciate sometimes. Right. Like 90 hours a week, and you just, fortunately, you know, when you run a brewery, you also have the solution to all those problems.
That's true. You guys have jobs that, like, people would kill for, like, they would love.
I mean, like, so I was thinking about this earlier, and I love this, so I'm not complaining, but, like, this morning, it's stupid hot right now, right? So I'm blessed to have finally got an assistant brewer. I've had two over the course of the period for about a total of 3 years. But, you know, I'll be 51 in November, and I got up this morning at 5 o'clock and went and, like, you know, I don't know if you looked in the brewery, it's a very manual situation. So, like, I lifted 550 pounds of grain over my shoulder to double the mill, and then took it, put it up there, dumped it over my shoulder into the mash tun, stirred it all up. And I'm starting to realize, like, when I'm 61, I don't know if that's really a great life plan. So maybe it's time to think about some other stuff. So I got a new assistant brewer named Bill who's really kicking butt. So that's nice.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, speaking of when you're 61, do you think you're successful? Or, like, what would you call success? Like, when will you say, like, we are successful?
Yeah, that's, I think for different reasons for all of us, I'm talking about Tim and Kevin, and my wife has a real job, thank God. we were all, either we didn't really grow up with any money, or, we're at a place where we could focus on other things. And so for us, maybe the threshold of success is different from a lot of people. Yeah, you mentioned being on every shelf. Like, clearly the best example of that is O'Connor. And the growth that Kevin and his people managed, you know, in that period of time is just staggeringly impressive to me. I would have lost my mind. but because of that, I never was interested in that kind of trajectory, you know. Really, I just want to be able to make enough money to go hiking in the Rockies once a year, twice a year, and, you know, be able to hang out with my kids a little more. And other than that, you know, my job, aside from the throwing around bags of grain part and cleaning endlessly, you know, you said, like, some people think they want the job. It's like 90% being a janitor. But at the end of the day, like I said, you get beer.
Yeah.
You know. At least there's a beer there, but yeah, there's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much of an answer to your question that was, but
I
would say we feel a whole lot better right now than we did, you know, before the new place.
One of the things that I like about all the people that we get to talk to is that their versions of success are so different.
Right.
And so I like your answer, you know, because really ultimately, at the end of the day, it's a job. It's a job you put a lot of your heart and soul into, but it's a job. And the things that are important are the things that you do when you're not at your job.
My life isn't very important then.
It's the hanging out with your kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Going to the
yeah.
Rockies. And
exactly.
Those are like your like benchmarks of...
Yes.
It's interesting. I like thinking about it that way. I think that's like a thing that a lot of business owners struggle with is like, what is my version of success? And do I have to work, you know, 200 hours a week to get there?
Right.
And if I did, is that worth it?
Right. Yeah, what did I miss along the way?
Yeah.
Yeah, so even though it's only been 7-8 years that we've been doing this, it's like I'm already conscious of things that I probably was too busy that I should have paid attention to, but I guess there's always a, you know, a balance.
Yeah, it's a good take for sure.
Do I get to ask you a question?
Okay.
Because I never, like, I never really, aside from the people that I already know in the brewery, mm-hmm. I rarely have a chance to talk to people.
Uh-huh.
Like, what are some of the things that you like about our place, whether it's a particular beer or whatever, just whatever pops to mind?
My favorite thing about coming to Pleasure House is that it is always, one, very welcoming, which is what I, like, mentioned earlier, and two, that it's always a super relaxed place. So I don't ever have to worry about, even when on your busiest nights,
right.
your busiest nights, the people who go there
mm-hmm.
are just low-key,
mm-hmm.
relaxed, just want to have a beer, hang out with their friends, have a good time, and it's never, I never have to worry about, like, bros getting drunk and getting in a fight.
Right.
Right. You know, to be completely honest,
right.
like, and it's just always, like, a very nice, relaxed, like, good time, and you have
good.
A good time, and, you know, I come for trivia night, and I come for
right.
music trivia night, and or music bingo night, and it's always just fun and relaxed, and it's a nice breath of fresh air,
mm-hmm.
especially in the Shore Drive area, which I love and have grown up there.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely. My wife too.
It is a much like New Haven used to be, you know, like mm-hmm. we used to hang out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, same idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a nice, relaxed, fun place, and you can tell everybody who works there is awesome. And,
yeah, we have a rocking crew.
Yeah, everyone who works there is awesome and super easy to get along with, and
mm-hmm.
it's a great place.
She literally talks
awesome.
About it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's like a real, like,
yeah.
oh, I'm just gonna like go over
yeah.
to Pleasure House for like a hot minute.
Yeah.
That's
fine. Grab a beer.
That's
grab
awesome.
A beer.
Right
grab
by
a
my
seltzer
river.
Sometimes.
I
yeah.
know.
Yeah. Yeah, if we can ever keep them on tap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon we'll have two.
Ooh.
Okay.
Right,
like one
fancy.
In the front, one in the back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's because I don't love making them, even though they're super easy. But we found a couple that taste really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so we figure if we have one in the front and one in the back, then it won't sell out quite as quickly.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good way to get like that. So I'm like normally not a beer drinker. And I will. Like,
mm-hmm.
I have been converted to certain beers and
mm-hmm.
certain things, but if I go to a brewery and there is a seltzer or a cider
right.
or something, like
mm-hmm.
I will get that and support them in that way and
probably
oh, yeah. drink a lot more of it. And
yeah.
so that's probably what you
it's
have.
A great option. Yeah.
yeah. You've got the option for like a group of eight that want to go out and seven of them like beer and their one friend.
Exactly. Doesn't have to be left
sucks,
out.
Sucks,
mm-hmm.
which is me.
Mm-hmm.
And
get roped to being DD
right,
again.
Right. Exactly.
Which is wonderful then.
Oh, right. I'm like, Uber is a thing as well.
So right. Exactly. Exactly.
So I like that you offer that. I think that's cool that you're like, hey, you know, I really like beer and I would rather this be all beer, but I understand that
mm-hmm.
we've got wusses like Misty who need a seltzer.
That's weird. You told her the name of the seltzer that was coming out?
Wusses like Misty. Listen, I will come by the keg.
That would be amazing.
I will come by the keg. Yeah. That's a real thing.
Might have to make it an acronym to get it by the ABC. But.
Yeah.
WLM. What's this WLM? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's fine. Willem and Mary.
Yeah.
There you go. Perfect.
Don't hate it at all, actually.
And part two, on top of the seltzer thing, is that you guys always have a lot of beers.
Yes.
Like, there's always a lot of beers on tap. There's always, and even for you, even if there's not a seltzer, there was always a beer, I think, that everyone would like.
I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah.
It's been I mean...
Which is sometimes you go to places and it's very heavy on one
yeah.
particular style.
Yeah, you've got eight IPAs and
right.
two 15% pastry stouts.
Right,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Yeah, so it's nice. There's always a variety and a beer you like.
Yeah, and that's what it's about. Is like, I think in your situation, I imagine it's probably hard to like stay creative and have that.
Actually, that's what keeps me going. Like having to do the same beer all the time is a struggle for me.
The repetitive ones.
Yeah. So I try to make sure I can always throw in something weird and new.
How do you come up with the weird and the new stuff?
Sometimes. You know, sitting around, as Tim likes to say, enjoying a Chardonnay or two after work. You know, we'll just bounce different ideas off each other. Sometimes I'll hear something, like some flavor, like, you know, maybe not even to do with beer.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, I wonder if I can make a beer in that vein or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll drink, like we were in Colorado, we had a couple beers and we're just like mind blown, you know, and thought, wow, you know, I can get in this neighborhood or take this part that I like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and build a different beer around it, that sort of thing. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I like picture you like with it, like a jar with like different flavors in it. Fruits mm-hmm. and vegetables and things. Mm-hmm. And you just like pull it out and you're like, today it's going to be...
Kiwi wheat.
Right. Yeah. There we go.
Like,
see?
I was like, where am I going to go with this?
Yeah.
It's like spinach tapioca is like the thing that would be disgusting. I was like...
It's a tough texture.
Yeah. I was like, what is going to be the most random thing that would be awful to try and do? And it would be that, so don't do that. No one's going to drink it. Or everybody would be like, I have to try this. And then be like, no, this is not right.
Mm.
This is not the pleasure house we know.
By the way, I should say about the, you know, 10 IPAs and 2 pastry stouts, we'd probably be a lot richer if we did that. I mean, there's a lot of people who love those styles. Yeah. I drink the heck out of IPAs. I don't like sweet beer very much, so I don't do the pastry stout much, but, you know. It's part of our genius plan to not get rich slowly.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes the not get rich slowly is more rewarding in the end, too. You know? I mean, if that's what the other people want, then that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
But you've created your own little niche of things.
Yeah.
That's special.
So to me, that's one of the cool things about, you know, the whole craft beer situation is that you get a chance to make an identity and... If it works, that's kind of a cool thing. You know, I sometimes complain about, like, going to beer bars because I'm what I describe as an adventure drinker. Like, I want to try new beers all the time, right? Like, something new and different. And it feels to me like maybe at least 6-7 years ago, it got to a point where most bars, like, if you go down Granby Street in Norfolk, you know, you go to 6 different beer bars, and with 1 or 2 exceptions, every single beer is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, why are you bothering?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't it be smarter to have 6, each one has its own, you know, niche,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, of course, there's always going to be Bud Light and whatever, but, you know, curate your stuff, make a name for yourself, and then, yeah, it might hurt at first, because not everybody can get everything they want, but I feel like then you would develop a much more loyal following,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, that's what let us survive COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I know, as much as I drank during COVID, as much as I like to drink in
right.
general, there's no way on earth that the people who came and bought as much beer as they did every day when we were shut down to go and whatnot could possibly have drunk that much beer.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept showing up, and that was pretty amazing.
Well, that's, I mean, you're right, though. Like, my husband is an adventure drinker as well. I really like that term.
Yeah.
He goes to a place, he's like, don't know what that is, I want that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 Crickets?
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, what's this weird thing? I want this weird thing.
Yeah.
And then I'll, like, look at the beer menu, and again, I'll be like, all right, I haven't had that either.
Exactly.
And his favorite beer might be on the menu,
mm-hmm.
but he's trying everything else.
Yep.
And so you're in a unique situation where you can be like, hey, I've never had that beer. I'm just going to make it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
The one we've avoided so far is a style called Lichtenhainer, which is a session, like 3-6, lightly tart German wheat beer, but it's smoked.
Oh.
It's like you get the two of the least selling
yeah.
things you could possibly
right.
do
yeah.
right there together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm like, I would drink a tart beer. I don't know
right.
that I would drink a smoked beer.
Yeah, we made our first smoked beer last year. It was a Helles lager, like a light pale lager. Just like a hint of, there's a beer called Schlenkerle, which is like one of the most famous smoked beer places. Like,
uh-huh.
they don't put smoked malt or any kind of smoke in their lager. It's just been around for 500 years, so it gets a little hint of that smoke
mm-hmm.
just from the being there, and that's kind of what I was aiming for, and it sold a lot better than I thought it would. But I think if you took that and then made it a wheat beer and then smoked, you know, and then made it sour, then
it's just like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it would just sit there on tap for a long time.
Yeah.
I would cry.
Yeah, it would be a lot.
So outside of people coming to me for a recommendation,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
if someone who's listening has not been to Pleasure yet, what would you tell them?
Hmm.
What should they try, do? What's a good recommendation?
Yeah, that's a good question.
They do have flights.
Right. Right.
Very cute little
yeah.
houses.
And we're happy to do, which Tim's dad made, by the way.
Yeah, oh, cool.
A lot of that cool stuff is handmade. Yeah, I think we got a couple of strengths, most of which you've already elaborated on. Like, if you like to go drink beer in a place that feels like home, except mostly clean.
You don't have to clean anything. either. You
yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
Well,
yeah.
That's all right.
I don't have to.
It's part of the fun.
Yeah.
We have a huge outdoor area, you know, mm-hmm. so if you would like to sit outside and or you're concerned about COVID-related mm-hmm. stuff, our back area is dog-friendly. We change beers fairly often. We've got 15 taps, only 3 are IPAs. We usually have 1 or 2 sours, some lagers, German styles, malty beer. You know, like as you mentioned, we've got a couple different kinds of trivia. We're working on getting bands inside more often. We have to get special permit to do it outside because of the neighbors, which totally get. So there's just a lot of things to do in a really relaxed place with pretty good beer.
Yep.
It's awesome. I love it. Yeah. I'm here for the music inside. I'll come to the music inside.
Pardon?
I miss music inside.
Yeah, yeah. My wife's going to have a significant birthday soon, and we were looking at concerts, like, oh, my God, we could go to a concert.
Right,
oh my
yeah,
God.
What is happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're supposed to go, my birthday is next month, and we're supposed to go to one on my birthday, and I'm going to,
right.
Please.
Right. Wear your masks.
Please.
Do what you got
to
do.
Please let me go to this concert. But, yeah, but, you know, that's part of the reason that, like, we'll go out to places now is, like, if there's live music or there's something going on. A nice
you guys have food trucks all the time.
Yep, food trucks.
Yeah.
Yep, every day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
There's and I would also say, and this is just being honest, kind of how we do. Like, if you came a long time ago, and either the atmosphere or the beer wasn't to your liking, things are different all across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had some quality issues early on. Virginia Beach does interesting things with its water sometimes that I didn't know about.
Yeah,
so, like, hey, this dark beer tastes like rusted nails. That's not a style.
No.
Let's dump it. So, that's good, too.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, I think that's the other cool thing, too, is if you've gone once, you went 6 months ago, and you're rotating things out so frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You have a really good method of keeping people coming back because they can always have something new and different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool.
They say ADD is a bad thing, but, you know.
I think it's great.
Like,
yeah.
New stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What's your marketing plan? ADD. ADD works so well for
yes.
us.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Yeah. No, I appreciate the invite.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's really good talking with you guys.
Yeah. Where can people find you? We didn't give your actual address. Where can people find you?
Oh, yeah. We're at 2032 Pleasure House Road. So it's just south of Shore Drive.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, perfect. Thanks for hanging out. Val, thanks for bringing him.
Of course.
Yeah. Thanks for running the show.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
exciting.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
You
want to
hit the button?
Okay.
You hit the button.
All right, guys.
No, the stop button.
Stop. Okay. Oh. All right. Bye, guys.
Yeah.